Let us sing and dance.
We love God with all our hearts.
Let us weep and pray.
We love God with all our souls.
Let us learn and grow.
We will love God with all our minds.
Let us work for good.
We will love God with all our strengths.
Let us open our lives to love.
We give ourselves to God.
The Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu famously remarked that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with but a single step. Our journey to peace begins with a single step too, when we reach out with hand and heart and greet one another with a sign of peace. And so now I say to you, the peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Now reach out to one another. In the name of Jesus Christ and through his Spirit, I bid you welcome to the First Congregational Church. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. You are welcome here if you are single, if you are married, if you are partnered, divorced, or widowed, for here we will partner with you. You are welcome if you are a parent or if you are the child of one, for here we will be family to you. You are welcome here if you know exactly what you believe or if you have no idea what to believe, for here we will share our faith with you. You are welcome here if you love people whose bodies look like yours or if you love people whose bodies look different, for here we are all together the body of Christ. You are welcome if you are from here or if you have traveled from afar, for our God is here, there, and everywhere. You are welcome if you are a saint or if you are a sinner, for God knows we are all a little bit of both. Friends, you are welcome here just as you are, because you are a beloved child of God made in God's very own image, and here the Spirit will meet you, feed you, console you, and even if you let it, transform you. I have a couple of announcements to make about the life of this place. As I give them, I invite anyone else who has an announcement to make to come forward to that microphone so that you might be ready when I am done. First, for all of our guests and visitors here, I would point out to you a pew card that should be in each and every pew. I would invite you to take it, to fill it out, to place it in the offering plate. If you give me enough information to reach out and get a hold of you, I promise that I will. I want to alert you to a program that is coming up on Tuesday evening. It is a program that is designed to help us think about how we take our faith, all the things that we practice and think about here in worship and in the life of this church, and apply them to the upcoming ballot initiatives, at least for those of you who live in Massachusetts. We will not tell you how to vote. We will not tell you what box to check. Instead, together, we will explore how our faith makes a difference in how we go about our calling of living in the world.
Good morning. I'm here this morning as the coordinator for the card ministry, a function of the deacons. You may know or you may not know that we have a card ministry that sends out both condolences and celebrational cards. We are starting a new initiative today. On the table near the library will be cards for what is appropriate in the next 7 days. So if you would like to check that table and see if you would like to sign one of the cards that is there, please do so, and I hope that that continues every week if we can manage to do that. Thank you.
Hello, my name's Tristan, and I just wanted to remind the congregation to change the clocks back next Saturday night.
Hi, I'm Casey Jones, and I'm here on behalf of the Mission Action Committee. And I just want to say what a success it was last week for the Construct Walk. We raised over $1,300 through everyone's efforts, so thank you very much. There were 10 walkers, and we will be matching that $1,000 with Mission Action as well. Thank you.
I want to draw your attention to one more thing. We always are decked out on the communion table with beautiful flowers. Today we have added two more flowers to the table. Those white roses are there in honor, in memory, and in blessing of two lives that were lost this week. They are there for David Andereg's mother, Anita, who passed away on Monday. And the other is there for Rudy Holtzel, who passed away late Friday evening. Mary is doing as well as can be expected. She is surrounded by family at home. Her children were by the bedside as Rudy passed away. And as she told me, it was a moment of beauty and grace. I invite you into a moment of silence as we pray for Rudy and Anita and for all who love them.
Although it is not printed in the church bulletin, there is a first reading. It's from the book of Deuteronomy. The people are nearing the entrance to the promised land. Here in this touching scene, Moses goes to the top of the mountain so that he can see the land, even though he will not be able to enter it. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him the whole land. Gilead, as far as Dan, the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have not let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, at the Lord's command. He was buried in a valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his burial place to this day. Moses was 126 years old when he died. His sight was unimpaired, and his vigor had not abated.
I would like to invite all the children who are here in the room to come on up and join me over here. Thank you, Irving. How are you? Well, hello. Have a seat. Hand in hand. I like it. Come on up. There's room for everybody. Come on up. So this morning I want to ask you a question, all right? You know I do that every Sunday. Here's the question for this week. What is the longest trip you have ever taken? Yeah. How long was it?
About 7 until midnight.
From 7 until midnight?
All right, that's a long time. All the way to South Carolina. That's a very long trip. 16 hours in the car. Yeah, not fun. Florida. You went to Florida too?
We had to drive to
Disney World. Oh, good. Either of you take long trips? To Cape Cod, that's a long way. To Nantucket. Let me ask you this question. On those really long trips, when you're finally getting close to South Carolina, or when you were almost to Florida or Disney World, how did you feel? Really good, because you were just about there, right? You could finally get... Absolutely, amen. You were finally going to get out of the car. So I want to tell you a story today. I don't know if you heard what Jim read to us today, but the people of Israel were on an even longer trip. They were on a trip that took them 40 years. I know, that's a very long time. And they were almost at the end of their trip. They were there just at the edge of where they were going. They could see Disneyland and Mickey Mouse's ears. And then the person that was leading them, the person who had led them on the entire trip, his name was Moses. He died. And what happened when he died is the people of Israel, instead of finally getting to where they were going, they were so sad that he had died that they sat down and they prayed and they sang for 30 days. They sat there all for 30 days remembering what a wonderful man he was and how he brought meaning to their lives and how much they loved him. Even though they were almost where they were going, they stopped for 30 whole days and waited. Well, they did have food, so they got to keep eating, so that worked. And fortunately, they weren't in a car. I want to show you something. They did have to walk. Come with me for one second. I want to show you something that we do here in this church that's really important. You may have heard me talk about it earlier, but do you see these two white flowers here? Whenever anyone who was loved by this church or a part of this church dies, we put these flowers here on this table. We put them there to remember how much we love them, to remember the people in our congregation who are sad that they are gone. We put these flowers here to pause, just like those people did before they got to the promised land, and remember what's really important, the people in this room that we share our journey with. So here's what we're going to do. What they say is that in the Bible, the people sat and they prayed and they sang. So what we're going to do is we're going to go sit down with all those people. We're going to go back and sit down and we're going to sing a song, because that's what the people before did. We're going to sing a song that should remind us in times of our sadness that God is still with us. We're going to sing Jesus Loves Me. Kathy, can you play it through? And please, let's all join in. If you want to go ahead and have a seat, we'll sit and we will sing. You could sit here. You could stay here. Before I let you go to Sunday school, we're going to do the other thing that they would have done there. They would have gotten together and they would have prayed. So let's stand in our circle and let's say the prayer that the Bible taught us It's called the Lord's Prayer. If you know it, say it out loud. If not, listen, and we will teach it to you. Let us all pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, you can go to Sunday school.
Good morning. Our theme for 2015, A Journey of Blessing, comes from Genesis 12, verses 1 to 2. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." It is remarkable that God does not give any details about the place that Abram will find. He merely tells him to go and assures him that he will be shown the way. Though there is a promise of blessing, the details of how this will take place are missing. The faith required to begin a journey when you are not told where you are going is remarkable. And yet, so many of the most important journeys of our lives began just that way. We may have some idea of what we want, to be blessed, to feel the presence of God, to have a life full of meaning. But how does that happen? And what if the journey takes us someplace unfamiliar? Lisa and I spent more than a decade trying to find a community of faith where we would feel at home. We came from very different traditions. I was raised in an evangelical Christian home, and Lisa is the daughter of a Unitarian minister. Our careers had taken us from Worcester to Boston and then here to the Berkshires. We tried several different Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist churches in these communities, but somehow none ever felt just right. Our desire to find a spiritual home grew along with our family, and a minister friend suggested that we try the First Congregational Church of Stockbridge. We took this recommendation into account and stayed at home. Until one day, we opened the Berkshire Eagle and read of this church's decision to become an open and affirming church. So we packed up the family that very day, actually, I think. Though we did not, this particular public declaration of welcoming spoke to us. Though we did not live in Stockbridge, in fact, we lived in Pittsfield, and Lisa had never even been to a congregational church, we came and just happened to come on a CE Sunday. Lisa still recalls the happiness she felt as she watched adults and children belt out "This Little Light of Mine." Our kids and I also felt equally at ease. Several weeks later, Hannah, then two, requested that we go back to, quote, "the place with the singing." By following the call, we had found our home. And yet, if you had told either of us, as we read the paper that morning, that someday Lisa would join the ministerial search committee, or commit to a 35-week Bible study, or that I would be teaching Sunday school, or in fact, that I would be standing before you today, I doubt we would have believed you. In fact, it might have stopped us in our tracks. The truth is, when you set out on a journey, you never know entirely where the path will lead. If we knew all the details, we might be daunted, might want to stay put, or even turn around. Instead, all we can do is heed the call and take each step faithfully, trusting that God has set us on this path for a reason. More than 5 years later, we feel so blessed to be part of this community, to pray together in this beautiful building, to see the seasons change, to watch the children grow, and to witness the ways in which our congregation has changed and grown as well. We do not know what the next 5 years will bring us, or 10 or 20, but we continue to listen for God's calling and look forward to remaining on this journey together. Thank you.
Our second reading tells the story of the calling of Abraham and Sarah. Hear these words from the 12th chapter of Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great so that you will be a blessing."
Friends, will you pray with me? Loving God, source of life and light, open our hearts that we may experience you in new ways. Open our minds that we may think about our journey in new ways. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So God called to Abram. "Get up and go," God said. "I am going to shake up your life. Leave your country and your father's home. Leave what you know, and I will show you something new. I will give you a new land. And you will know the blessing of children, and through you, all peoples will be blessed." Calls are peculiar things. Calls, like we talked about last week, come in a variety of ways into each of our lives, sometimes dramatically, and sometimes as that little insistent nudge, or that notice in the Berkshire Eagle. It just won't go away. And while calls may come privately and into our individual lives, just like Abram experienced, a response to that call, just like Abram's response, always is communal. Answering God's call always has implications far beyond our own individual lives. Those calls, you see, they launch journeys with ripple effects that keep going out and out and out. When Moses heard God's call in Egypt, his response brought a whole nation out of slavery into a journey toward a promised land. When Paul was confronted by Christ in the blinding light, his response brought all the peoples of the world out of slavery to this world and into a journey toward the promise of life. When Abram heard his call, I have no doubt, at least if he was a smart man, I have no doubt that he first went to his wife, his beloved, the treasure of his heart, the woman named Sarai. And if he was a smart and wise man, he told Sarai what he had heard. Maybe it was over an evening meal as the two of them sat together. He would have talked to her about this unbelievable promise of God, this promise of land and children and blessing. Despite all of the problems the two of them had had trying to conceive a child, he would tell her about this promise of God that they were going to parent an entire nation. Despite the fact that they had tried and tried and tried, God was going to bless them with the laughter of babies. There would be land and offspring and blessing, and I got to imagine that together they would have talked late into the night about promises and disappointment, about hopes and fears. Together they would have talked and prayed, for you see, that call to Abram wasn't just about him, because you see, God's calls never are. They would have talked about what that call meant for that life, how the call would have changed their lives. Always that individual call rippling out beyond Abram, now to Sarai, like that pebble cast in still waters. And so together, they would have made preparations for the journey that always comes with answering any call that God puts into our lives. And before they even left, the ripples of that call spread further and further. If you read past this story, you will know that Abram told his nephew Lot about these great promises and where they're heading off. And Lot said, "I am going with you." And then, beyond the immediate family, the Bible tells us there was the whole household, the cooks and cleaners, the herdsmen and the female attendants, those Abram and Sarai had taken in. And all those people's lives were suddenly changed. The ripples kept going, and they too prepared for the journey. To be fair, within that assembly, within that ragtag group, there would be some who had bigger and more emotional stakes than others. Some people more deeply invested, some just along for the ride. Sarai imagining the child in her arms. You can bet that she was eager to get on the road and see where it took her. Some of the household staff, people who would have been with Abram since he was born, would have had a deep and emotional attachment to Abram and to Sarai. And so whatever was promised to them, they were happy for them. So they were prepared to see that journey through the end. And then there would have been the wife of the cook or the husband of the attendant, coming along, not because they were so invested or interested in that call or promise, but because they were invested in the one who had already decided to go. And so they showed up and went along for the journey too. Ripples bringing new ripples, an individual call with a communal response. And so they set out, this great ragtag band. And that journey, it would have taken them a long time. It would have taken them years to finally reach where they settled down and spread out to enjoy their life and their blessing. They would have become a people shaped by their journey, a diverse band of travelers muddling their way along. They would have spent years getting used to each other's desires and each other's idiosyncrasies, for when you are on a journey of that length, you got to deal with the crazy people who are with you. Years of getting used to that one who always seemed to sing as they walked along the road. Some people would have loved it, and some people would have found it mildly annoying, but by the end of the journey, they all couldn't have imagined a day walking without the sweet sound of music in their ears. There would have been that one who needs everything organized and choreographed just right. In the beginning, probably would have been stressful for a whole lot of people. In the end, probably would have been a little bit helpful. And then there would have been the blessings of those people who might have struggled to finish the day's walk at all, their youngest years behind them. But the blessings of the fact that when night came and they sat around the fire, those people told stories before any of the rest of us could remember. There would be those who were able to carry the load and those who would need a helping hand. Among them, the strong and the weak, the gifted and the needy. And on a long journey like the one before them, make no mistake, each of them would have been all of those things at one time or another. At some times strong and at other times weak, at some times gifted and at other times needy. Along the way, that group would have changed. They would have met people they had not met before. The Bible tells us that this group met pharaohs and kings and common folk, people who did not join in the journey, but the Bible tells us that they were affected by the people who came into their midst and the God who was behind the calling. Along the way, we know that new people would join in. Babies would be born, strangers drawn by the sense of purpose on the faces of the people, or the joy they saw in the step, or the feeling of the spirit that animated it all. And along the journey, those strangers, those people with all of their idiosyncrasies and differences would have been knit together as a family, each of their gifts turning into a blessing to the others. Others would have joined because they were looking for something. Some looking for wholeness or healing, for newness or purpose. Still others wanting to expose their children to a purpose and meaning in life. And somehow, they saw those people on that journey. And they decided to become part. All of those joining the journey, adding their ripples until that quiet pond bubbled and churned and ripples headed out in all different directions and all at once. The call may have come in a private and quiet moment to Abram alone, but it was no longer his. It was now the calling of the whole people. Those blessings that had been promised to Abram and Sarai, they were now rippling out and blessing others. Calls may come individually, friends, in the quiet of the night or despite the busyness of our lives, but calls are always answered communally, with those effect creating ripples upon ripples. It is what calls do. And so since we last gathered last week, have you been listening for your call? I hope so. Have you heard God whispering in the night or nudging you? I pray so. You see, in stewardship, perhaps more than any other aspect of our common life together, we unfortunately have the tendency to draw inward and become very, very private and secretive. We look at the pledge as a private matter, something to be submitted on paper upside down or carefully hidden in an envelope. It hasn't always been that way in the church, but it has become that way for quite some time in the Protestant church. We look at our pledge as something to be decided in the quiet of our home, perhaps around the dinner table, the calling from God on our lives in an individual and private way. Our pledge becomes an individual calculus and closely guarded matter of our own call and purpose. But this story of Abram, no, this story of Abram and Sarai and Lot and the whole household and all they met along the way won't let us keep that look on something like stewardship. It reminds us that while the call from God may come into each of our lives quietly and privately, the response to God's call is always communal, ripple upon ripple upon ripple, journeys that begin before us and will end far after us. It's the story of this church and our journey too. A ragtag band of people with all kinds of idiosyncrasies, traveling on a journey that started before us and will end long after us. None of us started the journey of this church. The story of this local church was a calling upon the life and ministry of John Sargent and upon the hearts of Konkapot and the Mohican people. And through that calling, they created a ripple that spread, others like Edwards, Field, Niebuhr, trailing along in the wake. And all of us, every single one of us, the weak and the strong, the gifted and the needy, have become part of that ripple. And like the household of Abram and Sarai, each of us have different levels of emotional and spiritual connection to this place. Some of us couldn't imagine a Sunday without sitting in our pew. Others come not because it is so important to them, but maybe it's important to someone in their life. And if all of us were honest, we would say that our church life sometimes ebbs and flows. Sometimes we are more connected, and sometimes we need a little escape. I want to tell you about a few stories in my short time of people who have found their way to join this ragtag band of people. People who have come and found meaning in the midst of our journey, our ripples affecting their lives. Some of those people have come in difficult times. They have come to us when the doctors have told them the most difficult news of their lives. And they have come seeking solace and community. They have come seeking hope and blessing. And they have walked with us as long as the walk will last. Others have come in the midst of loss, divorce, or grief. Last year on Christmas Eve, a young father came with a beautiful and shy little girl. And that very same night on Christmas Eve, a young mother walked through the door with a rambunctious and wonderful little boy. Now maybe they were drawn by the candles, maybe the music, or maybe the bounce in our step. But those people are still walking by our side. They are adding and shaping our journey. Some of the people here in this room joined the journey more than half a century ago, and maybe on occasion they need a little help to make it through the rigors of the busy day, but at the close of the evening they are there to tell us the stories that only they remember before any of us knew. Some of the people in this room had been part of other traveling bands in other places, and when they moved to this place they sought out a new band and are walking with us. We have brought with us our own idiosyncrasies that have become cherished traditions. There are Mardi Gras bands and open tables. There is the love of music. There are penchants for marching in demonstrations, for crafting and knitting, for praying and learning, for fellowship hours that nourish and last, and for a welcome that allows everyone to flourish. The calling of John Sargent and Konkapot. The calling to share truth and welcome the stranger, no longer just theirs, but ours too, ripples upon ripples. So this year, as you listen for the calling of God in your own life, as you pray and discern what you will give back to this church, I pray that you remember the call of Abram and of John Sargent. And the truth that those callings are never individual or private. They are always communal, and our callings always affect one another. Whether you're deeply connected to this place or whether you're deeply connected to someone who is, whether you have much to give or whether you have much need, how you answer God's calling will affect not just your personal relationship with God, it will have a ripple effect on this entire community. Among this group are those who are already giving to their max, giving of their time, their talent, their love, their care, and yes, their money. There are also those among us who can still step up a little bit more, those who can increase their giving, because none of this, friends, is about any one of us. All of this is about all of us and all those out there in the world who are still looking for a ragtag band of people to journey alongside. What lies before us this stewardship season and all of our seasons together is God's calling, answered in community and journey. It is a truth that I think is best captured by Richard Gillard in his hymn, "Won't You Let Me Be Your Servant." There in stanzas 2 through 4 are these words. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are travelers on the road. We are here to help each other go the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the shadow of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. I pray, brothers and sisters, that in this place, that it may be so. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you may be seated. Each week, as we come together here in worship, we lay our lives open before God. We share all of who we are with a God who knows us as deeply as anything. Each week we lift up the joys that we carry in our lives and the burdens that weigh on our hearts, both so that we might pray them here in this room and so that we might take them with us on the days to come. And so I ask you this morning, sisters and brothers, what joys do you bring with you? What burdens do you carry? Tristan. We pray for all those who continue to suffer the effects of Ebola and how it has spread around the world. We also lift up the school shooting from this last week and those who lost their lives. Other joys and concerns. We will be with you, Grandpa, throughout the next number of days and years. Other joys and concerns. Yes, Ashley. We give thanks for the reunions with old friends. We give thanks for mothers and fathers who take on adoptions of children who are beautiful and amazing and have special needs, and the burden that it is to walk with them and the joy it is to get to give them life and hope and chance. Joanne. We lift up Lael, a co-worker who was attacked in Pittsfield. Mary Jane. We lift up your niece, Megan, did you say? Who is in the hospital with clots on both of her lungs. Yes, Candy. We lift up your brother, Chuck, and his journey forward, dealing with cancer and with hope and healing. John. We give thanks for Janet and all of her gifts, for her family who also have wonderful gifts, and the way that all of you continue to give to the life of this place, and we can't wait to be by Janet's side this afternoon. Yes. We lift up Mary and Rudy and the whole family as well. 10. We remember the Nigerian schoolgirls that we, in fact, prayed for, and if you remember, took home the slips of their name and prayed for, that there may be some hope for them. And we also keep Barbara in our prayers as she continues to recover and rehab. Tristan. We keep Max and your mother in our prayers. Yes, Ron.
It's good to see Deb McMenemy here today, and we want to keep her in mind. Wish her the best in her continued recovery.
It is good that you are back with us, Deb, and you are looking fantastic. We are glad you are here.
I'd like to give thanks once again in remembrance of the great gift Janet gave us, this church, in a time of great upheaval that this church had when she came and was in her minister here.
We give thanks for Janet's great ministry to this church and the healing of this one local body in her time as an interim and throughout her time with us. Friends, I invite you into a moment of silence that all of those prayers may wend their way into your hearts and onto your mind. God of Abraham and Moses, Miriam's guide. God of Ruth and Naomi, of Joseph and Mary, of the Apostle Paul and John Sargent, our God. We praise your holy name today, giving thanks for the gift of life and breath, for the beauty of our surroundings and the beauty of the people you have gathered here. On this day, we praise you for the gift of Janet McKinstry, for the ways you have gifted her for ministry and the way she has answered your call, producing ripple upon ripple. We ask today for your blessings on her installation in Richmond, blessings for her congregation that they might grow in faith to love and serve you in all they do. We ask you, God, that you meet us here too in ways that matter. Give us this day, God, our daily bread. Give us this day, God, nourishment for body and soul. Give us, we pray, courage to face what lies before us. Today, God, we remember the preciousness of life. Today we give you thanks for the life of Anita Andrag, a true daughter of the North, a woman who loved to ramble in the woods and fish for trout in the Wolf River near her home. God, welcome Anita home with open arms and bathe all who mourn her in the river of your healing and grace. Today, God, we also give you thanks for the life of Rudy Holtzel, beloved of Mary, gardener and knapsacker, man of keen mind and dedicated heart. God, we ask you to welcome Rudy home with warm embrace. Grant unto Mary and all those who are just understanding his loss, patience and peace and love. Anita and Rudy, you have run the race that God has placed before you. Enter now into everlasting peace and rest. God, amidst our sorrow and tears, we give you thanks for your love, and that because of you, death no longer has the final word, life does. That through you, we know that we shall once again be united in your heavenly home. We come to you now in our hearts and the hopes of our lives. God, for trees of gold and skies of blue, for love that lasts and forever rings true, for all we are and all we might yet be, we give thanks to you, O God, and place our trust only in thee. Amen. Week during our stewardship season, we will bless ministries and people of this church that they might be a blessing to others. And this morning, we were going to bless the knitters, those who knit prayer shawls, those who wrap others in the love of those shawls and blankets. And as many of you know, Mary is the heart of those knitters. And so today, we will pray for Mary, and we will wait to bless those so that Mary can be here and receive the blessing on her as well. We will not forget them. We will merely postpone their blessing. And we all know that they are already a blessing. Amen? In Psalm 138 are these words: I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. That statement's not one of sentiment or emotion. It means that I will give thanks to God with all that I am, with the source of my life, and with all that I have. We pass the offering plates each week that we might practice that truth, giving thanks to God with whatever you can put into that plate. The amount isn't so important. Rather, that what you put in really reflects giving thanks to God with your whole heart. It is in that spirit that this morning's offering will be given and received.
Oh,
Loving God, we place before you the gratitude of our lives. We return to you a portion of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. All we can say, God, is thanks. And all we dare ask this morning is that you bless these gifts and all who have gathered with your ever-flowing love and your abundant grace. And let us all say, Amen. Friends, as our worship comes to a close today, I invite you to come through those doors. It is raining, it is cold, it is gross outside. Come through those doors where it is warm and there is food and there are people you have yet to meet. I also invite you to come with us at 2 o'clock for the installation of Janet this afternoon in Richmond. It is an important part of our life in covenant with other churches and a way to let Janet know just how much we thank her and we love her. You might have noticed I'm wearing red today. I like wearing red. Red is the color of the Spirit. Today, you may or may not know, is Reformation Sunday. It is a day where we honor and remember the fact that we always are in need of reformation and that no church is ever perfect. It's in that spirit that I invite you to open your bulletins and sing the great Reformation hymn written by Martin Luther himself, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and sing it like Luther would have wanted you to. Let us sing.
as the Israelites were still gathered around Mount Sinai, where they had been for a year, God spoke to Moses. And God gave him a blessing to pass on to the people to renew their journey. I pass it along to you now, as each of us and we together renew our journey. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace. And let the whole church say, Amen. Amen.